Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Red Men podcast on what is the hottest day of the year so far. I recorded the Summer Transfer Show with Chloe yesterday and with John Reed, and we were hot. Okay. It's getting even hotter now. You guys can't see this because of the hoarding, whatever you call it, boarding on the tables, but all you those listening can as well. But underneath that table, Chris Pajak is shoeless and he is currently playing footsie with Ross.
It's not footsie. Footsie's two ways. Rubbing your sweaty feet on someone's leg, it's not fucking footsie.
Is it? It's inappropriate. You're his boss.
Oh well.
You can go to HR and complain.
It's me though. It's me though.
Yeah, exactly. you're trapped. You are trapped. Right. For those of you watching us on Twitter, you want to
I'll just tell you to shave your legs so I get a better feel next time.
I wouldn't mind it. It was so hot.
For those watching on Twitter, if you want to hear us talk about some footy, which we might do at some point, do come over, click the link now and come and join us on YouTube Live. Everyone who's watching us on YouTube and, of course, our Club Legends as well, use the Discord chat or use the live chat to get in touch with the show throughout. Let us know your thoughts, comments, etc., etc. We'll get to the best of those later. Again, I promise we're going to talk about footy, but before we talk about footy, we've got a kickoff question. And my kickoff question is, what is life's best beer, Chris? And I'm not saying what is life's best beer in terms of branding. This tweet went viral, and this was from Liam, one of our lads that we work upstairs. He sent me this and went, this could be a good kickoff question, so we're doing it. Joe Thackeray, I think he's a Liverpool fan, actually wrote, the hotel balcony while your girlfriend gets ready beer is one of life's great beers. So there he is, sat on a little bottle of beer while his missus is getting ready to go for a night out on holiday. What are your favourite life beers?
Probably my absolute favourite would be, you know, when you go somewhere and you get there like 9 o'clock at night and you've been travelling all day, and that first beer outside, European Aways is a classic example of this. You fly into a city for a big Liverpool game that's not for another 2 days. You get there at 9 o'clock, you've driven all night and all day to get there, and then you sit outside and you basically get a Turkish kebab wherever you are in Europe, and a beer with it, and that beer lasts about 3 seconds. So I'm going to pair the beers because the first two beers are the absolute best beers.
So end of travel, start of holiday beer. That's a solid beer.
Yeah, I'd say the first one at the airport is up there. Either that or when you know you're going on holiday and you get home from work and you go, I'm off now, and then you have a beer then. That's a good one. But also I'd throw it back to an end of service beer.
And
like a Saturday night, particularly when the fucking weather's like this and it's been so hot all day, you think it's hot in here, like, what's a kitchen, 60, 70 degrees, probably right now. Fucking been working all day, sweating, ice cold beer. Lasts about 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's a good one. I used to like, I'm a cricket fan, first beer at the cricket in a hot day is a good beer. Train beers are good beers. Little away day or something. Me and you going to the NFL, and we had plenty of train beers because our train was stopped on the tracks. I think we were drunk before we got to
my house. Yeah. we were literally drunk before we got back to my house.
That tweet's hard to beat though, isn't it? Because it's just like,
but hotel balcony beer is good. My issue with that is sometimes that is a trap because you get so sweaty because you don't think out. It's still like 30 degrees, and before you've even eaten, if you sit out there too long, you'll be a sweaty mess before you go for dinner. So you've got to be careful with the hotel balcony beer, I think. Is first beer, like you've been to like a kid's party or something and the kids have gone to bed and the stress of it was mad, and then you can sit down and have that beer where you can enjoy yourself. I think that's a good beer as well. But
the beer at the barbecue, as well when you're barbecuing.
Drinking while you're cooking.
Yeah, it's a fantastic beer, that.
It really is.
It's a show.
Yeah, let us know if you, and or if you don't drink, let us know when your time to have your favourite type of drink is as well. It doesn't have to be a beer. It could be when you get your first glass of wine or your non-alcoholic, whatever you're into. Do let us know in the comment section below. Right then, let's crack on with the show. I want to talk about Darwin Núñez and listen, criticism from, I'm not going to speak about like criticism from friendlies and all that, it's boring. It makes no sense. People are slagging him off from his performances in 2 half-an-hour friendlies. Honestly, it's boring. There's no point. My interest, Chris, is it was his reaction to the criticism. So he tweets out Resiliencia, which I guess means resilience, and a hush emoji as well. He's got pictures of himself in the kit there, basically saying, like, I'm not listening to the noise. But by responding to the noise, Darwin Núñez is listening to the noise, because he obviously is. What have you made of it in terms of the fact that it's obviously got to him a little bit, he's hearing about it. Should he just be ignoring it? It's 2 30-minute friendlies. I think a lot of it's opposition fans as well who are making compilation videos of him, calling them all
with
kinds
millions
of
views.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Is madness, isn't it? Like,
it feels like it's already weighing on him a little bit, it's fair to say.
I don't know whether I agree with that. You can respond to things on Twitter and it not be bothering you. You can just be telling them to shut up, wait for it, like, you know what I mean? And you could, I can see it both ways, don't get me wrong. I don't think there's anything to worry about there, to be honest with you. I think, you know, I haven't been with the squad for a week and whatnot. It's just going to take time. You know, we don't even know whether he's the day one starter yet. You know, we've seen players come in like Virgil van Dijk in January and Luis Diaz hit the ground running, and we've seen flip side of that where Robbo and Fabinho took a little bit of time to get used to it. This, for me, isn't somebody who's coming in and playing a role that the team already has. Now, that automatically, to me, says it's going to take a little bit longer before you see the best of him, because if it was someone like a Luis Diaz who wants to play on that left-hand side and just go and be you, you're used there in space, you're one-on-one with players, it's something that you've come up against week in, week out through your career thus far, go and be you, that's fine. It's all right saying go and be you, but if the team, to Darwin Núñez, but if the team doesn't play to Núñez's strength, there is going to be a period of acclimatisation. So for me, it's just about that, isn't it? You know, it's just, I think there's a probably him going, you know what, I believe in myself and I'm resilient and this doesn't matter to me. Shush.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who's going to back more? Like, the club has just spent £60 million on him, Jurgen Klopp. He said, I want you to play for me, or some gimp from Twitter who's fucking complained about him. Like, you know, he's going to go with Jurgen Klopp there, isn't he? And a club that just bought him. So to Chris's point, he's like, maybe, you know, you can say what you want, but it won't get to me. And ultimately, pre-season friendly has been fuck all. I spent 4 seasons thinking Marco Grujic was going to be the dog's bollocks, scoring diving headers against Barcelona. I'm still waiting for it. Never happened. So, you know, what did he play, half an hour in one of the games, maybe?
I remember Fernando Torres' pre-season wasn't great when we signed it. Who cares? That's what I'm saying. I don't care about how he's performing in pre-season. It means nothing. My question, and Gareth in the Super Chat here, Gareth Bear with £2, says, you know, just give him a chance. He'll never walk alone. And that's kind of it, Chris. There's all, and I mean, I'm not reading now because it's idiots, but there's people in the comments now already having a go at the lad, and he's going to be rubbish, he's going to be crap and stuff. It baffles me. It really does. He might be rubbish. He might be absolute crap, and he might be, because there's a chance. But going off everything we know about Liverpool on their track record of signing footballers recently, there's a very good chance he's going to be pretty good. It just feels like we're in a world now where everyone wants everything right now, and you're right to reference your Fabinho's and your Robertson's taking time, but then the flip side is, have we got that time? And I think people are very impatient, and if you don't hit the ground running straight away, it's almost like, well, we can write him off. And that isn't just a footy thing, it's kind of a societal thing as well. It's like everyone wants everything right now. We might just need some patience here.
We might do, and that's something that we don't have at the moment, isn't it? You're quite right to point out there. I think, you know, for me, I'm looking at him going, well, if you start off with he needs to hit the ground running, why? Does he need to hit the ground running? Did Fabinho need to hit the ground running? Did Fabinho hit the ground running? Is he one of the best sixes in the world? Yes. Did he hit the ground running? No. You know, with the games that we were mentioning, that Arsenal game when he was really, really poor, and then we didn't see him for a little while afterwards, they make you who you are and give you an understanding of what type of player he's going to be and stuff. So I want Darwin Núñez to hit the ground running. I want him to bang a goal early, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he needs to.
No, you're right. Do you think, Ross, and there's a few factors in play here as well, because we're talking about a few weeks ago he had time because he might not have even started, but Jota's got this hamstring injury now, which who knows, like, he's a doubt for the start of the season by all accounts. I think Jürgen said Alisson should play in the charity, the Community Shield. Jota probably won't, which means, you know, he's a week away from the season and he's not going to be fit. Sadio's left, but, you know, you're filling up the... Essentially, you're not the replacement for a legend, but you kind of are as well, in a way. Man City have just signed Erling Haaland, who, by all accounts, he might take time, but he's more... I know he's of a similar age, but he's already proven a bit more. I think people are more happy that the fact that Haaland will just come and score. But he's already moved a couple of times and done well when he's moved. It feels like there's a lot of pressure here on Darwin Nunez because, like I say, Jota's injured, Mane's gone. Our rivals have just signed one of the hottest strikers in world football. There's a Premier League to be won, there's a Champions League to be won. You can't afford to drop points.
Isn't this what we had last season? Just replace Man City with Chelsea and Lukaku?
Yeah. Like, Haaland,
you know what I mean? Lukaku was one of the hottest properties in world football, going back to a club that he's played for before. Just won the league with Milan in Italy. They sign him, they do well in the first couple of months of the season. Everyone thinks Chelsea are going to walk the league, and they don't.
And Timo Werner, and Ronaldo, and Jadon Sancho. It all comes, everything that you've just said there, plus the price tag, puts pressure on him. But I don't understand how he can write someone off for, what is it, half an hour that did he play?
Yeah, that's nonsense.
But no, but he can't criticise. So he can't be excited about signing someone and then play, you know, a pre-season friendly and then start criticising him, whether it's our fans or rival fans. And again, it's the approach of the conversation. I don't think he had a very good game, fair enough, or he's done his crap. Like, it's fucking pointless. And I'd advise people to stay off Twitter and social media after games of football, because it like you, I think you told me this, it changes your own opinion of what's going on around you. So you think he's had an all right game and you just leave it and you walk away, you stay with that opinion, but then you go on social media, you check everyone else kicking off. The comments you just said there are people complaining about a striker who we should all have faith in. Great, we'll assess him in a year's time. Yeah. If he's had a crap season, fine, fair enough. It's you know, A, he can still get better, but B, it's not what we hoped. But it all comes back to fear. Fear of him not starting well, fear of him being crap, and then fear of not being in the Premier League because Man City have bought Erling Haaland when it's fucking pointless, so you're stressing over nothing.
Yeah, sorry, Steve. I just think if you're going to judge him as a player, maybe judge him off last season or the season before, or the two games that he played against Liverpool and put us to the sword. You know, it was a real handful. Not maybe the 35 minutes he's played in pre-season when he's trying to get fitness and get to know his teammates.
Yeah.
Just there is a bank of evidence there that suggests he's probably quite a good player. Let's not just ignore all that and check the 35 minutes of football we saw him play when he's trying to get fit. Yeah.
Yeah. Changing job, the surroundings around you, where you live, will be stressful for anybody. And it just seems like because you're a footballer and you get fucking paid loads of money, that doesn't fucking count. And I said this about Takumi Minamino, the reason he struggled, and obviously it was just before the pandemic when he did that. It's like footballers don't have like fucking feelings or, you know, lives behind what's kind of going on. Like, fucking, he's been here fucking 5 minutes.
I think, again, I must have, this isn't, I'm not saying Liverpool fans are having a go on him. Some might be, but again, that's nonsense. I don't care about it. My thinking is, Chris, he might be Liverpool's number nine. He should be at some point starting games. You don't break your record transfer fee for lads to be on the bench. At some point, he has to go and deliver. And if he doesn't do that, then he's a bad sign. He's failed. My worry is that this tweet of a couple of minutes, like, there's going to be more of this. Everyone's going to be on his case all the time. Look at Trent gets from opposition fans all the time, just constantly having a go at him. He's crap. He can't defend. And he just takes on the chin kind of thing. Maybe Darwin Nunez, again, he's a kid and he has to learn, but maybe he needs to learn. Like, again, he's saying he's resilient, fair enough, but that's going to be tested a lot because this isn't going to come up. It's not going to go away. Anytime you have a bad game now, it's gone. Like, look what Lukaku got. He got absolutely ripped to shreds and some of it was deserved. We did it a little bit as well, so Gano Mendes. But, like, he is going to have to learn to, like, deal with this because it's not going to stop.
No, of course, and it's something that I think younger footballers are going to have to deal with forever now. You know, social media, you can't take it back. It's not going to ever not exist anymore. You know, someone like a Trent Alexander-Arnold, who probably believes in himself, you're looking at someone like a Trent, I think it's slightly different because you've grown up in a side and you've been thrust into the limelight and you've won everything. Like, it's easier to bat stuff away when you've literally won everything you can possibly win at about 20 years old. For someone who moves into a side at 23 with a lot of, there's a different type of pressure. It might be just the way that he deals with there are footballers that just constantly tweet. They constantly go on and have it and won't accept it. You know, there are some teams that will say, don't do it and all that type of stuff. We'll have to find the balance of that with him. You know, maybe it's Jürgen Klopp putting an arm around and going, look, just ignore all that. You're here because I want you here. And don't think that Jürgen hasn't said those type of things to him before. But when Sadio Mane left, you know, he did that in, when Gini Wijnaldum left, he did that interview, didn't he, saying that, you know, the fans in the ground felt completely different to the fans online. You know, he's talked about it, hasn't he, over the last year, where he said, like, you know, whenever there was a Liverpool defeat, they seemed to blame me. They didn't realise that I played every game in my last season and the length I had to go to try and beef it for every single game. But he said, I always had support in the ground. And this is where, for me, it's important to always be a supporter of your football club, whether that's in the ground or online, because you don't know how and when it will affect the players that you support or you're supposed to support. I get it. If it's somebody else, you know, another team or whatever, fine, do what you want. Like, you know what I mean? But if it's Liverpool fans, and I don't know whether it is because I don't look, to be quite honest with you, my life's much better for it. For me, if it's Liverpool fans, that's an issue. Because they're not supporters.
No.
They're just fans. And that's not what I am. And I can't relate to them.
Yeah. And that's not to say you can't be critical of those players. That's not what you're saying, is it? It's like, it's different, as I said, approaching conversation, saying, I don't think Nunez is a very good game, and then he's shite, fucking get rid of him. It's two completely different things. One that you can engage with and one that you can't. We do it after every game. We go, well, do you think you had a good game? You go, no, not really, no. Why do you not think?
But well, we right. do it. We literally have a show where we rate the players. Yeah, exactly. That's the time to do it. You can be critical without being an arsehole about it. You can say, you know what, he was shit today. And listen, I'm talking...
Well, what gets interactions on social media?
Yeah, just making a compilation of video and all that kind of stuff. Gareth Bale with the £5 super fans. Gareth says, I think everyone is saying it's Darwin is crap. Well, let's just wait and see. They'll be the same people who say they always believed when he hits the ground running. Yeah, and you're kind of right. Like, you will. You get a lot of that on it on social media for sure, and that's just the world we live in.
I think some people just want to say I was right first.
No, they just want to point
to the tweet and go, I told you so.
And there was people,
even when Lucas got good, that couldn't fucking forget that they hated him to begin with. And so whenever he had a bad game, they'd be like, oh no, I told you he was shit. Yeah, but he didn't have a great start, but then he became a club legend at a time when we weren't very good, and he gave us all for the football club and stayed there 10 years. But you were just waiting for a bad 30 minutes to say, I told you he was shit 9 years ago.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they win both ways, because either the player's good and Liverpool win and they're happy, or he was crap and they got to tell you.
The thing is, with criticising, it's very easy to criticise, and it's very easy to continue to criticise. It's very hard to stop criticising. It actually becomes who you are, and that's actually really sad. If criticising is who you are, I actually feel for you, because you've got nothing in your life.
Yeah,
it's an odd way to a prism of watching football, isn't it, really?
Through a negative slant kind of thing.
Well, yeah, but this has been said a few times, like, there's people who just fucking watch football who I fucking guarantee do not enjoy watching football, because it's always like, there's a mistake, I'll criticise that, and, you know, well, this happened. We're not 3-0 up at our time, and it's like, nothing is good enough, and nothing ever will be good enough for those people. There's always something to pick at, and again, it's fine being critical, but it's how you put that across to other people.
I'm sure. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Darwin, we're backing you as well. All his teammates come out and support.
And we'd have about double the amount of subscribers if we decided to just call everyone knobheads all the time.
Frauds and...
Yeah, but it's just not who we are.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And like I say, each their own, just, yeah, be nice. Is the demo. Got a couple of super chats to get to then. Don't really relate, but I'm going to speak about them now, just as a couple of our loyal... club legends. So we've got Trig Josh with a fiver. Hi, Redman. Get yourself a pet cooling mat to sleep on or sit on Jordan Heath. They work. There you go. There's a...
Trig, I found myself something very similar to that last night in my bathroom, because I realised that tiles are very cold, so I was butt naked, pressed up against the tiles, and it was fantastic.
There's a mental image that I'll never, ever, ever get out of my mind.
Someone please clip that up.
If you want more of that goodness, we are doing podcast next later, by the way. Last week's one was mad, me, Chris and Tom. If the feedback's been really good, if you haven't checked out, you should do so. Tom's story about Leaky Billy might be one of the funniest things I've ever heard. I've got a super chat for $25 from Scott Hawks. Thanks, Scott. Hope you're doing well. He said, I've got a sleepless night because I'm getting a root canal in the morning. I'll be wanting a stiff drink after. I hope all the online numpties soon see sense about Darwin. Yeah, good luck with the root canal, Scott. Thanks for supporting the show, as always. And you're right, again... I will back Jürgen and the transfer team to get these things right. At one point,
I find it fucking mental that this is a conversation I know it's the podcast content, but I just think it's like I've been away for a week. I haven't seen any of the pre-season stuff come back and said to the Discord group yesterday, what have I missed? And everyone's like, everyone's slagging off Darwin Nunez. I was like, yeah, the fuck? It's
crazy. Yeah. KJSJ in the comments says, Pajak is now putting unwanted images in my head. Maybe you should want them. Maybe you should want them. You know what else you should want? More Redmen TV content. Our Hendo 10 series, critically acclaimed, has been transformed into a podcast series featuring the dulcet tones of one Mr. James Sutton as our narrator. We went and got an actual actor to do the voiceover work for it. Just happened he's a mate of ours as well.
I was a little bit pissed off that I never got asked, to be honest.
Was you?
No.
I'll be honest. People are like, let's do it. We had a conversation, we're like, it can't be Paul because Paul features in the clip, so it can't be Paul. I was like, well, I'll do it. And Si and Paul went, didn't even say no. He went, let's just ask James Sutton. So straight, they didn't even give me I was in the meeting to plan it, and it was dismissed out of hand straight. So I was like, let's just ask James.
You wasn't always James Sutton or John Machen, isn't it?
Good voices. Yeah. Good voice work. Yeah. So do check this out, and we'll be right back after this quick break.
Hey everyone, just want to tell you that our phenomenal, incredible, unique, world-class Jordan Henderson 10 Years a Red documentary is now available as a podcast. 3 episodes. Episode 1 is going to be available to listen to in your native podcast and app across all good podcasting services for free. That's going to be charting his rise up the ranks at Sunderland leading up to his move to the mighty Reds. Episodes 2 and 3 covering his rise at the Reds, playing right midfield, fighting against all the odds to become an established Liverpool player. And episode 3, yeah, the good stuff, the stuff where he shuffles his legs and lifts loads of silverware. He's absolutely brilliant footballer.
The dressing room is a much better place with people like him, and he's a wonderful footballer.
My captain.
Episodes 2 and 3 streaming exclusively on Redmen Plus. Head over to redmenplus.com. If you checked it out in video form and you want to get it on the go, you can get it. If you've never experienced it before, get the incredible Jordan Henderson Hendo 10 Years of Red documentary in your ears right now.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There you go, Hendo 10, the podcast series, streaming now on all good podcast providers and even the crap ones as well. Just search the Redmen TV on all those apps and you'll find it there completely free. There's a post on our website as well, redmenplus.com. You will find it. Honestly, go and check it out. It's really, really good. With some of basically the biggest names in Liverpool Football Club's history all feature. Kenny, Gerrard, Klopp, they're all in there. Jamie Carragher's on there, Trent's on there. Tons and tons of insight. Probably the best ones, actually. It might be Jordan's dad as well, and with all the stuff they went through. So yeah, do go and check it out. Very, very proud of it. The podcast is as good as the video series was. So yeah, do go and check it out. It's free, completely free. Go and find it now. Right then, let's move on to topic number 2. I called it defender number 5 just because I like Mambo number 5, and I thought we could. That's the only reason
defender
I did that.
Defender number 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've got Joey, Joel, Virgil. Canati.
Anibu.
Anyway, yeah. So let's run through where we're at right now. Ben Davis is about to be sold. I don't think it's official yet, but he's going to Rangers. Billy Cometio's gone out
with a late bid from a Championship club, apparently.
For Ben Davis, trying to sneak that one in there worthy as well. Neil Jones reported, our good friend of the show, that Nat Phillips and Rhys Williams both expected to leave, not to be sold on Rhys loan to a Championship club. The Echo reported that Sepp Vandenberg is also expected to be loaned out with inquiries from Premier League and Bundesliga sides, Chris. So as it stands, that fifth defender, whoever it is, they're all being linked away. Is there a case to be said one of those needs to be kept, whether it's Rhys or Sepp as the emergency? Because last season, when Virgil had that issue before the Champions League final, he couldn't play. We had Joe Gomez at right back. Rhys Williams was on the bench for Liverpool. He was the centre-half option. Does it feel like the cupboard might be a little bit too bare if Nat, Rhys and Sepp all go out at the same time?
Depends on what the sports scientists think of how Virgil and Joe Gomez have recovered from their injuries, I suppose, doesn't it? I think the main thing that I'm looking at when I look at these centre-halves is the Nat Phillips one's the most interesting, because I think more than anybody, he probably deserves to move on, but he's also a homegrown player, which would then leave us, I believe, with six homegrown players potentially, which means we could only register 23 in our squad for the Premier League. Now, we're lucky in that Kurt Jones, Harvey Elliott, Fabio Carvalho, and a couple of others are all young players and don't need to be registered, so we're probably not short of numbers. We went into last season's squad, I think, with 23 registered with the Premier League.
Because you don't have to register the kids.
Because you don't have to register the kids, do you? But right now, if we go down to six homegrowns, I think we've currently got 15 non, which means we've still got a couple of spaces if we wanted to for some foreign players, essentially, according to Premier League rules, non-homegrown or whatever. So, I don't know. It's a difficult one, really. I think seven homegrowns, it obviously means you can get to a squad of 24 if you want to, I think, doesn't it? Because you have to have eight minimum. As far as the others go, I don't really care. Like, I think Rhys probably needs to move for a loan to see what he's going to become. I think Sepp Vandenberg probably needs to move either. If it's Premier League, you're probably thinking they're looking for a sale. If it's Bundesliga, you might try and get to a team that's a little bit similar to Liverpool, which means you might be thinking of him still in the future as a Liverpool player. So where he goes actually will tell us what the long-term thinking for Sepp Vandenberg is, probably. So I don't know. Nat Phillips, although he probably deserves the move the most and is probably ready for a move, he's also probably your best option if the shit does hit the fan, because he's the most experienced and I think you can trust him a little bit more.
It feels like Liverpool are doing him a favour, because he's been passed around everyone. I think he wants to go and play regular first team footy, which
is fair.
And he got the chance to do that at Bournemouth on last season, got promotion as well. The issue that clouds this, Ross, is that it depends on Calvin Ramsey. I think Calvin Ramsey is a huge factor in this. If he's good enough to be a backup right back and Joe Gomez doesn't have to play right back ever again, then Forrest should be fine. And then, if, you know, in a break glass option, you might just use Fabinho there or use a kid there. I think Jarrell Kwanza, I've noted down here, played for the under-19s. He was on the bench a couple of times last season. Spares away when we had the COVID issues. Kwanza was there on the bench. Just played, like I say, I think he scored in the semi-final, the under-19s, recent one that England won. But if Gomez is your backup right back, we had this issue a little bit last time where he's your backup right back, but he's also your backup centre back. He can't be both, because Trent's got a niggle and Canate's got a niggle, and all of a sudden Joe Gomez he's being pulled around.
You still got Milner there,
but again, he's also covering someone else. I think a lot of this depends how good Calvin Ramsey is. If Calvin Ramsey's good enough just to play 20 games, touch wood, if Trent ever got injured, I hope it doesn't, that kind of solves this, you probably get away with four. But if he's not quite ready, you might need to keep that fifth one around because Joe's your backup right back.
Possibly. I think a lot of these loans and sales, well, not the loans, but the sales will come with, like, if they're at a peak price point where you can sell them.
Nats, you're probably going to get decent money for. Do it only loans. But
are you going to get any more from Nat Phillips if you keep him and let him on that next season? So, you know, to Chris's point, if they can assess it and think we're all right, you know, I know there's loads of arguments to say that we need more players in midfield, but if you can move some of these players around, you're never going to get all four centre backs injured in one season, are you? So
never.
That'll be
that's
fine.
Never happened before.
That'll be fine. But I think there's lots of progress from actually Liverpool's injury record from the season before last. And again, you know, I held up Matic quite a lot last season. How impressive he was. I know there's a lot of games of football to play, but I think the five subs rule also helps with all this, because you're not running players into the ground week in, week out. I think you can afford to, you know, kind of curb injuries as much as you can. Therefore, those players are free. And you've got players like Milner and Ramsey. You can use them sparingly. It's not like we need you because Trent's played, you know, 180 minutes twice a week for fucking 4 weeks, and I think it's October. I think it's the month where it's just a bit of a joke. So maybe Liverpool are riding luck a little bit in terms of the low numbers there. My preference would be to keep one of them as a break glass option. But if you're trying to say to a player, you're trying to say to Nat Phillips, right, listen, mate,
it can't be him.
Yeah, but I know, just for example, listen, mate, we want you to stay, but you're only going to play if X, Y, Z fucking players are all injured and it's in a Carabao Cup game. They've already asked about, they're not going to hang around for that, are they?
Sepp Vander makes 20. So in theory, and it's different because he's played professional footy for 18 months. He was on two loans at Preston, essentially, for 18 months, Chris. To then say to him, come back, and by the way, you're in the other 23 years again, but we'll use you sparingly. That can be a tough conversation to have. It might be one that people need to have because you need to be selfish. It could be that you say to him, right, come back, you'll be on the bench, you'll be in and around the squad for a bit, you can play all the League Cup games. That's a way to keep him sweet because, like I say, Reece Williams went out on loan and it just didn't work for him. Sepp had a good loan. Nat Phillips had a good loan as well. Loans are nothing. They're not guaranteed. Like, Leighton Clarkson got called back because he wasn't getting a kick there. We saw Ben Woodburn have a couple of rubbish loans. Ryan Kent had a few before he eventually got. So, like, loans aren't guaranteed anything. Liverpool have found a place for Sepp where Preston liked him. They want him. They'd probably take him back tomorrow if they really wanted to do it. So the option to, you might be able to keep Reece Williams around as that option and say to Sepp, go and have another loan where you're at a team who you're going to play, who know you're comfortable with. In terms of his development, that could be better, but then Liverpool also need to be selfish. There is a balance in that.
Yeah. I don't know whether he gave up the tough conversation. Ultimately, he's a Liverpool player and he's 20 years old. You know, I think if he wants...
Tough shit, can't be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just one of them where he doesn't have... There's no player power there for Sepp Vandenberg, I don't think. You know, for me, it's just about, well, if Liverpool need you, you're staying and tough titties, essentially. I think that Klopp will be thinking four is probably enough, but five makes more sense. And I think that as well. I think I'd rather have five, but okay, if you're going to go with four, you're going to go with four. Matip seems to have put those niggling injuries behind him, touch wood, of course. Joe Gomez had a good season last season. Virgil van Dijk's had a good season last season. And Ibu Konate looks solid as well. So I imagine the four of them should do plenty of games between them.
I'm going to do it because is there an argument to make that Ross, that like Reece Williams might just not be good enough? Like,
of course there's argument.
Because I'll be honest, like, I know it doesn't look fast enough to me. I think there's a lot where you can be improved on. And again, he's 21, he's got a whole career ahead of him. But I don't think he's at the level yet where we want to be developing him because I don't think he's close enough. I think there's a lot of work to do. He needs somewhere where he can go and play. He couldn't even get in the Swansea's team. And I understand the end of this couple of seasons ago now where him and Nath Hill's playing, Liverpool get Champions League footy, and fair play to him. That's an iconic footy in the history of our football club with him and that battered and bruised walking off. But I'm reading the comments live here as well. We saw after the friendly games, like, there's an eye to be made, actually. Even if he is number five, I wouldn't want him to be playing anyway.
No, I think you'd get nervous if he started on the team sheet and you're obviously not as comfortable if it's Van Dijk, Konate or Gomez or Ibu in there, but that's what fifth choice is. Your fifth choice isn't supposed to be, you know, an argument for a first-team starter. I think he's also unfortunate, the fact that because he is so young, everyone's perception of what a 21-year-old should be a Trent or an Mbappe or like. And if you're not, you're shit. You know, we can get better, but unfortunately, the way Liverpool play now, or what we're competing for, is you have to be the best.
Yeah, there's no time to develop.
You can't do that, unfortunately, anymore. There's been people that have been 10 years his senior that tried to play under Jurgen Klopp's side and weren't good enough because of the way our high line that we play, the way that we play, and how you have to beat. It's really hard for him, but he's not good enough for Liverpool. That's not to say that he's crap. Just you have to be the best if you want to be at Liverpool.
Look at Ibu Konate. He signed when he was 22 years old. You know, you don't have the same conversations around him because he was ready.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
Yeah,
like it can take some players longer than others, but ultimately, Liverpool are playing at a level whereby they need world class players in every position, and to win the best trophies and challenge Manchester City for the Premier League, you're going to need world class players all over the pitch. 21 year olds that aren't good enough, unfortunately, aren't good enough. That's just life. I'm sorry.
No, yeah,
five years, 10 years ago, Sepp Vandenberg would probably be third choice centre half, and we'd be happy with him. But we've moved on and we need our backup players to have moved on.
You're not going to get a fifth choice world-class player either. That's the thing.
Also, not to say that he can't improve. Look at the two paths in comparison to Ibu Konate. Konate obviously went to Leipzig, was playing Champions League football. And the season before, Reece Williams was playing, was it Kidderminster Harriers? He's not going to be on the fucking same level.
That's what I'm saying in terms of quality levels. Like, for me,
He's not gonna get to the level he needs at Preston's thing.
Either of them?
None of them are. And if we ever think that someone going out on loan is going to get to the level we need at Preston, we're wrong.
You can get them
experience and you can get them better. We're only going to find out whether they're good enough when they play in our side.
But also, where was Van Dijk at 21? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it takes some people longer than others. Yeah.
Absolutely right. And what I think it's fair to say, we're blessed with the four we've got. Like, some clubs would take
any. We've got the best four centre-halves from any team in the world.
Yeah,
I don't think there's anyone with as good options as us.
City are close, aren't they, really? But depends. You're right, we are great. Let's play a little game of keep Sell alone then. All three of them. You've got Nat, you've got Rhys, and you've got Sepp. What would you do? What would you be doing this summer, Chris?
Nat, Rhys, and Sepp.
Keep Sell alone, one each.
I honestly don't think any of them would be good enough for Liverpool, and that's just an opinion based on what I've seen so far.
But for this season now?
I'd keep Nat, but I also recognise that it is time to go, because I think he's the best of the three players today.
Yeah.
And if we are in break glass situation, you need the best one. That's as simple as my thought process is.
Sell Rhys, Sloane, Sepp again, or vice team?
I don't care.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. No, that's fine.
I'd keep Nat, but I agree to the point, I think, and we've had this conversation in the past two seasons, I think, where we thought he was going to move and go away, that he would do. But I just think if you're, I don't know, playing a team lower down the league and you've got no defenders left, I'm all right with Nat Phillips, you know what I mean?
So, I'm selling
Crew turns in the fucking San Siro for fucking Zlatan, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think he's just signed a new one-year contract.
He's got a bit more stock, hasn't he? Whereas, you know, like to Ben Davies, like, we obviously have no evidence that he can play football for Liverpool Football Club. Rhys Williams was, you know, admirable with him and Nat Phillips towards the back end of the season before last and what they did. But either go on loan or be sold, and Sepp van den Berg is in danger of becoming like a Kent, a Woodburn or a Wilson, where he's going to go loan after loan after loan. But he also has to appreciate that the centre-halves at 20, you're probably still going to bulk out and get bigger and gain experience. They'll want to keep doing that alone. I hope he has a good season, then sell him one, then fine.
I think I'm sell. I agree with Matt. I think I'll be selling that now because he wants to go and stuff. Yeah, but get a bit of money for him as well. I'd sell Rhys because I don't see it. I think I've got more hope of van den Berg being something than I have of Williams being something. And also, I'd be happy with, if Sepp van den Berg's your fifth choice around and he plays a couple of cup games and he can do a job at right back as well. He'd done a year at Preston, that's what I'd be doing. But yeah, it was that's what I would be doing. Trig Josh, then, do you think it was a mistake not to sign De Ligt to partner Van Dijk when there was a discussion about it with the £5 super chat? No, is my answer, because like we've got the best centre half in the world, basically. De Ligt's good. I think he's really, he's about to go to Juventus, isn't he, at time recording, but
wait,
Munich.
Sorry, he's going from Juventus to Munich, rather. But yeah, I think Konate is going to be an unbelievable defender. He already is really good, and I think we've got a special one there. I might be wrong. I would back Konate to be better than De Ligt, if truth be told. I might be completely wrong about that, because they're both really great, but I've got big hopes for Ibu already. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, go with that.
I don't think it was. I think, you know, the price difference between when he moved to Juventus and stuff was at 80 million he moved to Juventus for at the time. You know, that's another big player that Liverpool have got out the back of with the change from the Konate deal. Nearly Nunes, to be fair.
Yeah, and he moved. Yeah, he was young, because it was that year when Ajax done the fire sale, didn't he, 2019, after they got everyone, yeah. €75 million he went for, with upped with annual instalments additional of 10 million. So, yeah, he's talking like €85 million he went for. So
when was that, 2019?
Yeah.
And two seasons later, they're selling him. That says a lot, doesn't it?
I think that's just buying, innit? I don't think he was as good as, and I didn't watch it, but I don't think he was as good as they thought.
He's a kid, he's 19. He wasn't that great. Yeah, I don't think it was a mistake at all. So I think De Ligt's going to be really good, but I think Konate is a superstar. I think he's probably now number one. Number two, Virgil's always number one, but in terms of the other three, I think Konate now has got himself in the team, which is credit to him, because Joel Matip is unbelievably good as well. Like, him and Gomez are fantastic. Liverpool are blessed with the four that you've got. We are picking hairs with number five, whoever it may be. Like I say, let us know in the comments section or tweet us. Keep Sell alone, Nat, Rhys, and Sepp. Let us know that in the comments section or by tweeting us, like I say. Right then, advert number two coming up. We are very, very hot. We are all going to go and fill our water bottles up while we give you some information about our upcoming Club Legend competition. See you in a second.
Hey, we have got a phenomenal competition for you guys this month. It is for this absolute beauty in my hands right now. It is a Liverpool Retro 2001 UEFA Cup winner's home shirt signed by Liverpool legends Emil Heskey and Jamie Carragher as well. How do you win this phenomenal prize? Well, I'm going to tell you, it is very simple indeed. Head to Red Men Plus, join up at the tier of club legend, and you'll be automatically entered into the prize draw for this. If you're an existing subscriber at club captain level, go to your account section and you can upgrade there, and you will also be entered into that draw. Not only have we got this as a fantastic competition prize, in addition to monthly fantastic competition prizes, last month we gave away a Liverpool goalkeeper shirt signed by the entire goalkeeping squad, including Alisson Becker and even coaches like Taffarel. You get a whole host of incredible Liverpool streaming content in video and in podcast form. Weekly shows getting you closer to the Reds on the pitch. Cultural features and documentaries getting you closer understanding of all the wonderful things around this magnificent football club. It's like Netflix for Liverpool fans. So yeah, head to redmenplus.com, become a club legend or upgrade to club legend, and get yourself in with a chance of getting this phenomenal Emil Heskey and Jamie Carragher signed retro Liverpool shirt. All the best.
There you go. Even do you get involved? There we do. I was getting distracted by you playing there.
There we do.
Chris and Ross were doing BMA flips in the break after they filled their drinks up. But yeah, do get involved with the Club Legend competition. Amazing prize. Jamie Carragher, may I ask you, 2001 UEFA Cup shirt is available now. All you got to do is head over to redmenplus.com and sign up as a Club Legend subscriber. Get access to all the content, but you also get bonus perks as well. Access to the Discord chat, discounts off merchandise, free merchandise, and also a place in that competition draw as well. Some amazing prizes we've given away this year. you touching him with your feet again?
No, I didn't.
You went to stop it.
No, I didn't.
I'm trying to upsell.
Carry on.
Okay, I'm getting distracted by your feet. I've got a problem. Do go over to redmenplus.com, check it out. As an amazing prize next month as well. We just haven't decided what it is yet, but that's your job later. We have to pick a good competition prize.
There we do.
There you go. Yeah, get involved. Redmenplus.com. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. The content is wonderful.
You can have me dirty socks.
Oh, yeah, Club Legend prize next year is Pajax flip flops.
I was reading about it this morning. There was some, I'm not sure if she was an ex actress or porn star. She was selling her dirty socks like $150 ago.
Jesus Christ. The world's fucked, isn't it? The world is absolutely fucked. Yeah, I shouted that many did you buy?
So what did we have a week off?
So I got a text a few days ago off one of my mates, and it was like, Twitter, Facebook sponsored post, and it was like, such and such company is paying you for sperm donations, and you're going, you know, sperm donations, they'll pay you next month ago. And he was like, Steve, that crusty sock under your bed must be worth about $4,000. Like, no, it's in the wash, it's fine. Speaking of Red Men Plus, did you know, Chris Pajak, that you can now sign up to Red Men Plus on Spotify?
Yes.
Could we set it up?
Yes.
Shall I tell the people?
Yes.
You can now sign up to Red Men Plus on Spotify, yeah. So we listen to all the feedback, all you guys who use Spotify. If you signed up to Red Men Plus through the website, the normal way, and got all the video and podcast content, it wasn't available in Spotify due to how Spotify set up their feeds. So what we've done, we upload the podcast to Spotify directly now, and for the same price, you can go and subscribe through there. So if Spotify is your app of choice and you're desperate to get more Red Men podcasts, you can sign up through Spotify, pay them, and they'll pay us, essentially. That's kind of how it works. Get involved. It is all there for you. If you just search for Red Men Plus Podcasts on Spotify, you can find it there. Subscribe with the link, and yeah, they'll automatically download right into your Spotify feed every single time we put one out. Right then, Ross, let's talk about Jude Bellingham again. I'll be honest, putting the agenda together for the podcast, thinking, what's this third topic going to be? And then Fabrizio Romano, like the hero that he is, did another YouTube video. And I'm not sure this is new news, but it's kind of confirming what everyone kind of thought was happening. So he said that Liverpool started the conversation a few weeks ago with Borussia Dortmund with an approach for Jude Bellingham. Dortmund told Liverpool that he was, quote, untouchable this summer, but Liverpool are still thinking of the player, and Jürgen Klopp is obviously a big fan. And we heard Jürgen Klopp the other day, Chris, I'll come to you first, say, you know, the only problem with Jude Bellingham is that he's not on the market. Liverpool probably learned that by going this conversation that Fabrizio Romano was talking about. Are you holding out any hope for a Bellingham deal this summer?
Yeah.
I am as well.
I can't help it.
Why are we doing this to ourselves?
I don't know, but it's ridiculous. Like, I'm starting to think, even if it's not this summer, it might be January. Yeah. And then if it's not January, it'll be next summer.
And navigate a pre-agreement where he goes back for a year.
And why not? Why not? Why can't we dream? Why can't we have hope? I mean, I love him. I want him at Liverpool and I want him to be a Liverpool player. I want to support him and he's phenomenal. Like, this is the conversation we were having about the centre-halves. Sometimes they're good enough when they're young.
He's 19, but he can walk into the team.
Yeah, and he might be up there with the best that we've got already at 19 against experienced professionals who've been there and done it. And, you know, he might be a game-changer for Liverpool. And why wouldn't you do everything within your powers to be able to do it? Like, I'm sure Liverpool have had transfers in the past where they've gone, he's not for sale. And they've got him. And, you know, that's part of bargaining, isn't it? So why not have that hope? Why is it likely? No, probably not. Jürgen said our business is done and that Ramsey was going to be the last signing of the summer. So the likelihood is, you know, the pre-agreement gets done and that's it.
There's been talk that Man City are sniffing around them as well, which always never bodes well in these things. That's going to happen when you're in for top players, Ross. If Jude Bellingham is available, you're not going to get a clear walk to Jude Bellingham. You know what I mean? There's always, you're going to be fighting off teams on the way. It used to be that you'd be fighting with Barcelona, Real Madrid. For some reason, Barcelona have found like €100 million down the side of the couch again recently, so they might have money again. But
it's a mad thing.
Yeah, it's crazy. They've just done the old. They've done the payday loan thing, haven't they? They've loaned half the TV rights out. They've done the Spotify deal. Like they're robbing from their future generation to pay right now.
Yeah, they've restructured the loan payments, haven't they?
They've done all. They found though. But in general, City are sniffing about him. Every club in the world, Bayern Munich are obviously involved like somewhere. Everyone will want Jude Bellingham. You're not going to get a free run at it. That's just the nature of the beast right now. But Liverpool, it's encouraging that they've at least put themselves in the conversation. They've made it known as and when Jude's available, we want to be at the front of the queue, please.
That would be fucking stupid not to, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Like we've known this for quite a while that he's been a fan of him. I think what will happen is there'll be an unofficial pre-agreement, because what Liverpool don't want is to go into a bidding war with someone that they've identified as their number one target. And I think that's what a lot of fans' fears are, of going, well, Man City sniffing around, then, you know, are we the type of club that will go over the odds for a midfielder? Probably not. We saw that this season with Shumania saying, actually, no, you can just have him. You're going to pay out through the nose, through wages and a transfer fee, then fucking help yourselves.
But, well, to be honest, the flip side of that, Ross, might be that there's reports that he just picked someone else, which is sound. That can happen.
But obviously, there's obviously just evidence there of Jordan Henderson doing pictures with Jude Bellingham, and certain comments with Jude Bellingham just get kind of blown out of proportion, maybe. I just don't want to fall into a trap where I think it's going to happen this summer, and a lot of fans will do this, of going, get that excited about Jude Bellingham, like rehash news from Fabrizio Romano, of saying Liverpool are interested in, of course they are, expecting it to happen, and then be pissed off, disappointed when it doesn't happen, going to the start of the season. So just go, it's not going to happen, and when it does happen, be fucking happy about it.
I'm holding out hope, but I'm not expecting it. I think that's fair to say. I would like Liverpool to go inside Jude Bellingham, but they're probably not going to, is where I'm at. But going back to the conversation Jürgen had about the midfield then, Chris, and he says, like, we're happy with what we've got, blah, 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 but we know Liverpool have made inquiries to two top players. So that's always the case, though, isn't it? Like, just, you can be happy with what you've got, but if you think there might be a top player available, you're still going to ask the question. It doesn't mean he's like saying, I think we are desperate for a midfielder. He will quite happily go in with what we've got. Some will agree with that, some won't. I personally think they should sign one, but I don't think it's a disaster if they don't.
You can't listen to a word they say when it comes to this, because Jürgen's got to manage the squad as well as any new potential transfers.
You can't be saying, Alex Ox, oh yeah, we're desperate for Jude Bellingham because we're really desperate. We don't think Ox is any good, because you might need Ox.
But it also puts the price up a midfielder. I live for a midfielder. Well, it's fucking £10 million more.
And it puts the price down on you trying to sell, because they're not going to buy Bellingham until they shift Ox or all that.
So you can't believe a word that they say in that regard. You know, what we do know is that they've made an inquiry which suggests that Liverpool want Jude Bellingham. Whether they get him this summer or next summer, we'll find out, or whether at all. You know what I mean? But you can't read into what Klopp says, because he's got to manage the egos within his squad.
The proof's kind of in the pudding. I thought he kind of gave it away when he's like, that player's not on the market. That's a problem. In fact, that's the only problem, which is basically Jürgen saying, mate, he's boss, but he don't want to sell him. Like, what can I do, kind of thing. It's like other clubs trying to get Mo Salah off us. My God, Mo Salah's brilliant, but Liverpool aren't going to sell him. The flip side is Dortmund are known to be a selling club, but they drive a hard bargain. It took Man United a long time to get Jadon Sancho to Dortmund. That transfer was happening for we knew it was happening at some point. They got the price up and up and up and up and up, and then Sancho come off the best season of his career, and all of a sudden the price is up there. That's the thing. If you can't do a deal now, Ross, all evidence suggests that that Jude Bellingham is going to have another great season, and the price next season is just going to be higher. It's not going to be cheaper. Yeah.
I think it's slightly different in the sense of, I think Man United love a transfer saga, by the way, so I'd discount Jadon Sancho through that, because they're doing the same thing this season with Frankie de Jong, but Willy won't need bollocks, and that's just them. The other difference is they just sold Haaland, so they are a selling club, but it's unlikely they'll sell two of the biggest stars in the same summer. But to argue that point, the amount that they spent this summer and the amount of players that they brought in is a lot. So whether they're trying to counteract the conversation we just had there, or actually, well, we'll spend first, we'll get our squad together, we'll buy who we want, then we'll sell Jude Bellingham because we can do. Because if you sell Jude Bellingham for £100 million and then Dortmund go shopping for a midfielder, we'll go, you just got £100 million for that fellow there. You know, fucking cough up. You're desperate to try and replace him. So, and he might have that now with the Haaland stuff, trying to go for a forward, or they might have done, this summer. So it's the ball's in Dortmund's court, as far as I'm concerned.
John makes a good point here in the YouTube chat. He says, you know, we aren't getting them now, but we just have to make sure we're front of the queue. And I think that's probably where we're all right. Liverpool need to make sure that when Jude Bellingham is available, and at some point he leaves Dortmund. We had Rafa Honig down on Expert Insight a couple of weeks ago. Now we're speaking to Paul, and he basically said he will go at some point. It could be 3 years, it could be 1 year, who knows? But he will leave. He's not going to be Dortmund's version of Steven Gerrard, where he's there for 20 years. He will come back to England at some point. Liverpool need to put the groundwork in now to make sure when he is available, Chris, they're at the front. He did it with Virgil. You know, they tapped them up, basically. And not allowed to do, but everyone does it. There needs to be phone calls or little texts to Jude Bellingham, which we know goes on. The day that Dortmund go, yeah, you can go now, right, we're there with the money. The money's ready. Your personal terms are pretty much boxed off. The player says, don't do a bidding war, I want to go to Liverpool. That's probably the way Liverpool are doing now, you would think.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think by all accounts, and, you know, the rumours on WhatsApp and Twitter and everything that are flying around is that, you know, he doesn't want to piss Dortmund off because they've been good to him. And that, for me, if that's the truth, that's a good thing.
Yeah,
you know, you want someone to be loyal to a club that's been loyal to them and that's helped his development and given him an opportunity to become a leader in that side. I think part of Dortmund's problem last season was that the experienced people were actually looking to the likes of Jude Bellingham and Erling Haaland as the leaders of the side, you know, at very young age. You know, you want the leaders to be 28, 29, 30, but they weren't performing, they weren't being good enough, and it fell to the likes of Jude Bellingham and Erling Haaland to be the leaders. That proves that he's got what it takes at a very, very young age to be a leader, which is probably something that Liverpool wants as well as his footballing ability. So, but then you, to be that sort of leader, you've got to be faithful to this club, and you don't want him throwing the baby out with the bathwater type of thing. If he likes Dortmund and he respects them, that's a really good thing. It's a good trait to have as a footballer, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what's going to be on. We'd be guessing, but it could be a case of Liverpool want me. Yeah, we're not selling your sound. Okay, so that's fine, but next year maybe. That happens all the time. We know that happens. Jack Grealish essentially did that with Aston Villa, didn't he? Put a new contract down, but he made sure he had that release clause in it so that he could get out of there if he needed to. Like, these conversations, this football transfers are murky, Ross, but you can get what you want. Just
everyone's got a price, 70. They might have a price to Dortmund.
Listen, if Liverpool went in where there's £150 million, Dortmund would sell him tomorrow.
Yeah, of course.
And they just would.
They also don't want an unhappy player, which, to Chris's point, I think is a really good character of Jude Bellingham, the fact that he doesn't want to do that. I also think it's quite good the fact that he was so young, went abroad and thought, actually, I'm going to go and play me.
In the middle of a pandemic.
Exactly. So fair play to him. I think it's really encouraging that Liverpool are having these conversations because I think it's nice to be wanted. Liverpool are going to him, and Jurgen Klopp's going to him. Jurgen Klopp signed a new contract. Mo Salah signed a new contract. All these players are staying, will play into the mind of Jude Bellingham, going, well, what is my future if he do go to Liverpool? If we were still 50-50 on Salah and we were still 50-50 on Jurgen Klopp, is the conversation as easy for Jude Bellingham? We're going, well, if we go there for 5 years, what's that going to look like? Do you know what I mean? Whereas these players are staying. I think it's...
And he massively respects Henderson, and Henderson might have a part to play in the transfer of Jude Bellingham as well, with the hookups on England and stuff like that, and just getting in his ear and making sure that he's heard and knows all about Liverpool. What?
It does happen. Steven Gerrard spoke in, Gary Neville started tapping him up for Man United, knocked on his hotel, was like, do you want to sign for us? And Gerrard gave him the quick elbow. But yeah, you forget about Jude Bellingham, he's 19, he turns 20 in 10 days' time. No, sorry, I'm lying, he's just turned 19, 29th of June, rather. He's a kid, because they had Dortmund for 4 years, and we were 24. Like, he's got so much time ahead of him. He's in no rush, and that's the thing.
That's some bad maths, that, by the way.
I thought it said July.
No, but you just, after that you went, he's just turned 19, he could stay at Dortmund for 4 years and leave at 24.
Sorry, 5 years and 24.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know what I wouldn't like?
That was some terrible.
It was, yeah, it wasn't great. That's why me and not doing a countdown. But yeah, that's the thing, Ross, is that he's in no rush. He doesn't have to push this. This isn't like... This is a 27-year-old player going home. Wilfred Zaha, when he was desperate to go to Arsenal, he was doing all he could take, but Palace were like, you're not going. And he put up a hasty fit. And that was his big move. That's gone now. Wilfred Zaha probably retires at Crystal Palace because he's missed the boat. Jude Bellingham, he's a kid. He's got so much time. He doesn't need to piss Dortmund off. He could have three more clubs in his career. He's that young. He's in no rush whatsoever. We're just so desperate to get him. Yeah. That's the thing.
He's not in a rush, but everyone else in Europe is. You know, I think there's rumours Real Madrid are not, you know, interested as well. Of course they are, because one of the best clubs in the world. He's going to be one of the best players. You want that asset at your football club. So it's up to him. It's up to Dortmund. If they don't want to sell, then fair enough. If Dortmund prefer a bidding war next season, then that's fine. I would prefer a pre-contract, a pre-agreement, unofficial, because I think part of the criticism that Naby's getting is because there was so much hype for a year before he even arrived at Liverpool Football Club. I wouldn't wish that on anyone else. Therefore, he's had, you know, good and bad performances under Liverpool, but we spent a whole year going, oh, we've got him. Spent a whole year watching highlights when he scored a goal, whatever else. And I know that's what some people are doing now, but it'd be so intense for a year. And then when he comes, the pressures is so high for him, which will be anyway. But I'd rather they discuss it behind closed doors and nothing gets said until next year.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to sign him, but until the transfer window closes, I am living in hope. But I think that's hope, not expectation. If it doesn't happen, I don't think it's a disaster. I've seen the conversation, like, if Liverpool don't sign him in field, they can't win stuff. I disagree with that completely. I think it'd be nice to have one, because I do think there's question marks. But yeah, I will hold out hope rather than expectation. I think that's fair to say. Right then, guys, I start wrapping up. Doing Podcast Extra later. If you haven't checked out Podcast Extra before, it's essentially the stuff that people ask us that we're not allowed to answer on YouTube, essentially, because we might get cancelled. Like Leaky Billy's story, or my story of how I embarrassed myself at a baths. Or Chris telling us about the worst 80s ever had, which was pretty embarrassing, to be fair, as well. Yeah, if you want to check that out, streams on Redmen Plus.
That's terrible.
It was really bad. RedmenPlus.com. Sign up, we can give you Podcast Extra. It's essentially, we do some footy chat in there, if I'm honest, but a lot of it is just us just revealing the real us and how pathetic we've been in our past lives. So yeah, head on over to RedmenPlus.com. Like I say, if you sign up as a club legend, you will get access to that Discord chat as well. We've been referencing throughout the show, and also entry into the signed shirts competition. Carragher and Heskey UEFA Cup 2001 winner shirt is there for you right now. Guys, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure having you both here with me. Thank all you guys for watching or listening wherever you are in the world. Stay safe, enjoy the sun, etc., etc. We are off to go and stand outside. It is very, very hot in here. Catch us all later.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.